We talked about some of the signs that we are able to see to know that, listen, this person may not really represent God the way that they say that they do, or the way that they're portraying that they do. And one of the main ways that we can confirm if they are or if they aren't is to follow up what it is that they're doing and saying by the scriptures. But this particular thing that I ran into recently, it was kind of mind blowing. Just, hey, what's going on, family? Welcome back to the podcast. Just want to say thank you guys for joining In the Word podcast with your boy, Trevor Pope. Listen, pray that you guys are having a great and awesome week. We're going to jump right into our topic. Something that I ran into recently that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know it was a thing. And maybe once, you know, I start digging into this topic, maybe some of you guys will say, oh, you know, I already saw that or I already heard of it. I'm sorry, but I'm late to the party. But just seeing it, you know, it was strange. It was weird. You know, it kind of brought me back to the conversations that we've been having here on the podcast about being very careful about the different leaders that we follow. We've talked a lot about a lot of things that we see going on in the quote unquote church world and how every church doesn't belong to the Lord, right? Every leader doesn't belong to the Lord, and how careful we have to be when we follow certain individuals and some of the signs. Like we talked in past podcasts, past Eat Up Monday episodes, In the Word episodes, we talked about some of the signs that we are able to see to know that, listen, this person may not really represent God the way that they say that they do or the way that they're portraying that they do. And one of the main ways that we can confirm if they are or if they aren't is to follow up what it is that they're doing and saying by the scriptures. But this particular thing that I ran into recently, it was kind of mind blowing just because of some of the scriptures that immediately came to mind. And I don't know how I ran into this video. I don't know. I know it was on YouTube. I don't know if I saw it in the, you know, in the search on the search bar, or if I was just watching somebody video and they brought up the whole topic, but it had to do with writing in tongues. Yes, you heard that right. Writing in tongues. Now, we've all heard of speaking in tongues. We've heard of interpretation of tongues. But here it is. This guy was talking about different pastors, preachers, leaders that were writing in tongues. So I started to watch a couple of these videos. And not only were they writing in tongues, now, just to give you an understanding of what they were doing, and I giggle, and not because it's funny, but it's just really mind blowing just to watch. You know, some was using a black, like a black chalkboard. Some was using a regular whiteboard. And what they would do is call themselves writing tongues on that board. And they would have the people that are in the audience or in the congregation come and touch these tongues. And you would see the people fall out and, you know, supposedly be filled in the spirit and start speaking in tongues. And it was just mind blowing. And it just brought me back to these conversations that we've been having, guys, that you got to be careful with the things that you follow. And one of the reasons that people are able to get over on people this way and deceive people this way is because sometimes when we go to these services, we always feel like we got to have some type of outer body experience. We got to get some type of goosebumps. We got to shake or fall on the floor to feel like God has moved. But a lot of times, you know, we'll find that God doesn't always move that way, right? Sometimes it's just through simple words, just a plain teaching and speaking. And, you know, we get a wealth of understanding, right? We get a wealth of uplifting and encouragement. But people, they hang their hat on these things. They attach to these things because they love to get into the spooky part of the service, you know, when stuff gets real spooky and weird and stuff like that. And you'll often find times that a lot of these situations, God is not moving in. If you've been in church any length of time and you be honest with yourself, you know, people, I've had conversations with people that have went and got prayed for and got hands laid on them, and they're honest now, you know, now years later, and I've done it. I've been a part of this, and, you know, I had to stop doing it. Like, I no longer do it. This has been years ago where, you know, people pray for you, they lay hands on you, and you fall, and it's not because God really knocked you out, but you want to show, first of all, you see everybody else doing it, so you don't want to kind of, you know, make the individual that's praying for you feel like they're not moving in power. Like there's almost like an obligation there to fall and act like something's happening that's not happening when there's no obligation at all, right? That's bondage. Like God doesn't tell us we have to do that and we don't have to do that. If I'm going up to get prayed for and you're praying for me, fine. You lay hands, fine. I'm receiving the prayer if it's a prayer from God lining up with the scriptures, but I don't have to fall down to make you feel as if God is moving or to make everybody else feel that I got what, you know, I was looking for from God. It's like, no, that's all a bunch of nonsense. And that's why we see things like this happen. That's why we see things like this take place. But I wanted to share a couple scriptures, you know, that are plainly in the scriptures that lets us know that, listen, this is foolishness. Writing out tongues on the board. We know that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to read a few of those scriptures. And when you get a chance, read the entirety of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read just a few verses just to debunk this and also show why it's ignorant and why it doesn't make sense and why we have to stop getting caught up in the hype, stop getting caught up in spookiness, stop letting your emotions just run with you every time somebody's playing an organ or whatever have you. Emotions is fine, right? We should be emotional when we think about the things God has done for us. Many of you know my testimony. I lost my mind smoking PCP for almost 2 years straight. Not only did God give me back my mind, but he saved me, giving me the opportunity to be a minister, have a family, so on and so forth. And it's like, yes, when I think about those things and I start to really sit and meditate on them, you know, a lot of times I do become emotional, you know, because I know the things that I went through and the things that happened to me in those times of being on the street, selling drugs, in the gang, things of that nature. So it's not the part about being emotional about what God has done for us, but just allowing, you know, the music to make us emotional, these fame words, which means made up words that these women and men are saying to mess with our emotions. We got to stop that, right? And we got to allow the Holy Spirit to filter everything that we're hearing and to filter everything that somebody is saying to us so that we don't fall into these traps, right? But I just want to read a couple scriptures with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Listen what Paul says. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in the unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And look what he says in verse 14. He says, and desire spiritual gifts. We know that speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift, right? So he says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts. He said, that's fine to desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And when you see the word prophesy here, and you're going to hear him touch on prophesy and prophesying. A lot of times when we think of prophesy, this is the definition that we think of: to foretell future events, to predict, to utter predictions, to make declaration of events to come. So a lot of times when we're in service and we hear somebody saying or see somebody prophesying, like a lot of times that's the prophecy that we think of. But there's another kind of prophecy as well that he is going to be talking about here. And this is the definition for that. When you prophesy in scripture, to preach, to instruct in religious doctrines, to interpret or explain scripture. And this is what we need. You know, this is what we've always needed from the beginning of time. This is what God always wanted for us, is somebody to explain scripture or religious subjects, to exhort, right? So it's not just about this is going to happen tomorrow. God said next week, this is going to happen for you. And that's another way that people get caught up in these services, right? If you be honest, have you ever been in a service, right, where the preacher finished preaching, one person, he asked if anybody needed prayer, right? Nobody went up except this one person. But if this one person goes up and he starts prophesying to that person, God said this and get ready for this, I see this, that line starts to grow, right? I've seen it 100 times over. Why? Because people are looking for that supernatural word, right? But he's going to break down here that, listen, it's not always about the supernatural. Supernatural isn't bad in itself, but sometimes it's just a plain explained word that's going to get you to where you need to be, that's going to do what it is that you need to be done in your life. But listen what he goes on to say, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, for those of you that want to follow along. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he said, listen, this individual that's speaking in tongues, he's speaking to God and not to man, and man doesn't understand what he's saying. Listen what he goes on to say. But he that prophesieth, and remember what we said, some of the definitions of prophecy was, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And it's funny because one of the videos that I saw, the guy said, the writing of the tongues on the board is to edify everybody in that service or in the church. And that's just not true, right? And he's going to tell us how we are edified through tongues in a second. But those that are speaking in tongues are truly edifying themselves unless, and we'll see what that unless is. But he that prophesieth, he that speaks plainly, right? And prophesieth, he edifieth the church, right? Everybody is getting something. Because when we're speaking in tongues, and I'm sure you guys been in services where people are rambling off in tongues and all that, and people, they acting like, God is moving real crazy and the more tongues is being spoken. But truly, how much is it really edifying us? Is this us just tapping into learned behavior? Because this is the scripture, right? Either we're going to believe the scripture or we not. He says, listen, this individual is really edifying himself. So how is it that when this person keeps speaking in tongues, all of a sudden you're in a trance and all these things are happening to you? It doesn't really make sense. But listen what he goes on to say. He edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church, right? I would that ye all speak with tongues. He said, listen, I wish all of you spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, right? Something plainly, even if that's a word, something that's confirmed, right? Even if it's a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future, something that's plain and confirmed. But he's talking about just those plain words, right? That opening up the scripture and just breaking down the text to you. Listen, when he goes on to say, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesieth. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Wow. And that's powerful, because a lot of times you'll hear it in the reverse. But listen, remember I told you he said, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So if somebody is interpreting these tongues, then we can all be edified together, right? But if somebody's just in church, just speaking in tongues and nobody's edifying, then we don't know what you're talking about. It's not, if nobody's interpreting, we don't know what you're talking about. It's not really edifying all of us. And this is another reason why we got to be careful with people that tell us we're not really filled with the Spirit if we don't speak in tongues. That's not really a biblical thing, but you will hear people say that, like, oh, you're not really filled with the Holy Ghost if you don't speak in tongues. And I've talked about that in other videos. And here's the thing to think about. How do we know that you're speaking in tongues if ain't nobody interpreting it? Because a lot of the tongues that we hear, it almost sounds the same. Not to say that it's not, actual tongues, but a lot of little terms I hear people say, it almost sounds the same. So how do I know that you're speaking in tongues, right? And there's no interpreter there, right? And then whoever's interpreting it, we got to know that they are of a man or woman of God and have some integrity and really being used and not in cahoots with you. Because if you're not careful, just like some of these videos I saw, you'll have some people to try to play like, they're interpreting or so on and so forth and find out they're just in cahoots with the individuals that's doing this. But this is why we got to be very careful, because people will put pressure on you and make you think, oh, because you're not speaking in tongues, then you're not really filled or you don't really have the Holy Ghost. Man, you got to be careful of all that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's somebody putting a bondage on you that you're not supposed to have on you, right? Because we know that it is a spiritual gift and we know that everybody is not going to speak in tongues, and there's scriptures that back that up, right? But people will make you think if you never spoke in tongues or don't speak in tongues that you're less than in God. Got to be real careful with that. But let's go on to see what he goes on to say. He says that the church may receive edifying. If somebody's interpreting it, then we can all get the edifying of what's being said in tongues. Verse 6, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. Let's look what he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. Let's drop down to that 12th verse. And when you get a chance, please read this chapter in its entirety. He goes on to say, even so ye, For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, he said, listen, I know you want these spiritual gifts, and there's multiple spiritual gifts. It's just not speaking in tongues, right? It deals with faith, helps. It's so many different spiritual gifts that the scriptures talk about, you know, right here in 1 Corinthians. And maybe we'll do a video on that. But he says, I know that you're zealous for these spiritual gifts. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. This should be the main goal. Like, listen, I know you want these spiritual gifts. You want to move miraculously and all of that. But the goal is to make sure that everybody that is in this circle, everybody that is present, is being edified. That's the goal. Because we don't want anyone to leave this gathering not edified. We don't want anybody to leave the gathering without understanding, because we come to glorify God. We come to be unified. We come to see the move of God. So how can God really move if everybody's not getting what God is saying, right? Like, how can you get what it is that you came for if I'm speaking in a language that you don't understand? And I've heard people, because I know churches that where, you know, the preacher may speak in tons of tongues, right? And I've known people that have gone to these services that weren't, you know, versed in church, or maybe wasn't even saved yet, and said that they went to these services and they didn't know what was going on, right? So it's like, how does that benefit that individual, right? Because we know God is not the author of confusion, and we know God is the type of God that he can reach the saved and unsaved right in the same service. He can speak to all of our hearts all at the same time, right? Because that's the God that we serve. That's how powerful he is. He is the word. But when we are going outside of the word and doing our own things, now everybody is not being edified, right? So it goes on to say, that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, right? Like, he's adamant about this. These tongues need to be interpreted. So if speaking in tongues need to be interpreted, and we only see where it talks about speaking in tongues, where does writing in tongues come from? Where does touching it and falling out and speaking in tongues, what is that all about? Here he's saying if somebody is speaking in tongues, it need to be interpreted by somebody. But now we're writing on boards and people can touch it and get knocked out. Bunch of foolishness, right? But listen to what the scripture goes on to say. He says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Wow. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, he goes on to say, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he says, listen, I thank God that I speak in tongues. So he's not speaking against speaking in tongues, right? But he's making it clear that, listen, it's an importance, and I'm going to keep drilling this home, because if you're in services where everybody is not getting something, you know, when we're not getting something in a unified way, then there's a problem. And I'm not talking about somebody being in a service where things are being explained plainly and they're just not getting it. You know, they should have the opportunity to be able to come up afterwards. Or if it's a setting where dialogue is being done instead of monologue, they can raise their hand and ask a question. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about the individual just doing anything and saying whatever and not really, you know, speaking what God has for them to speak so that everybody can be edified, right? So everybody can have the opportunity to be edified. Remember what we read in that third verse, 1 Corinthians 14:3, he says, but he that prophesies what? Speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort, right? Like when we come, we coming for answers, right? We're going through different things. You know, we got things on the table, things before God. We're coming to be edified, exhorted. We're coming to be comforted. But how can that be done if I don't know what you're talking about or what's going on at the time, right? He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather, listen to this, speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So it looks impressive. It looks good. Like, you know, all that's fine. But if all of us is not getting anything, how is it benefiting the body of Christ, right? This is about all of us. It's not about one individual, right? He goes on to say, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So listen to what he says. He says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. He says, with men of other lips and other tongues I'll speak unto my people. But listen what God says. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. He says, listen, my own children, they still won't hear. Listen what Paul goes on to say after saying that. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them, or not for them, or not to them, excuse me, that believe, but to them that believe not, right? These individuals that are speaking these tongues and speaking these languages, it says it's for them. We've seen what happened in the book of Acts, right? When they started saying, oh, are these men drunk? Are these men drunk as early as it is as in the day? Have these men been drinking wine? And it's like, no, God is using these individuals, right? It was a witness to show that, listen, God is real. But listen what he goes on to say. He says, but to them that believe, excuse me, I'm getting excited. Let me start off in the 22nd verse again. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So he says, listen, those that are already a part of the body, right? That explaining things plainly and breaking things down plainly and giving those prophesying words, it says, listen, it's a benefit for them more than anything, right? Because we already, we already have the Spirit. We're already a part of God. So as we hear these words broken down and the Spirit is revealing certain things to us, guess what? That's going to give us the revelation and the things that we need to understand what it is that God is saying. But he goes on to say, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? And remember, I told you, I know people that have went to services like that, and they said, man, I don't know what was going on. It was kind of crazy. It was kind of weird because there was no interpretation there, right? There was, and that's another thing. Remember, when we think about the book of Acts, right? Because remember, somebody might say, well, it just said that it was for the unbeliever or for those that don't believe. But if you remember in the book of Acts, they understood what they were saying, right? It was interpreted. It was plain on what they were saying in their languages. So when these people come in and everybody is just speaking with tongues and nothing is being interpreted, it seems crazy to them. But if they came in and everybody was speaking in tongues and somebody was interpreting it, then it would make more sense, right? So he says 23 again, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Verse 24, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, right? So these words now is bringing conviction, because obviously if this person is speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit, then, and we've all been there, right? Well, we've come into a service and somebody starts preaching the word and starts being led by the Spirit. We feel that conviction, right? We know that God is talking to us about something it is that we are doing or something it is that we've been seeking him about or asking about, whatever have you. It says that, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced, one of all, he is judged of all. There's no denying what it is that he's hearing, because it's confirmation to what he already knows, right? And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So those things that were hidden that he only knew, now they're made manifest, right? He can't deny that God is moving and God is speaking and that these things are hidden down in his heart, because God is revealing that to him, right? And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And this is why it is important, right, to not make these services that we're having, if you're a pastor, minister, whatever, like, stop making these services about you, right? Like, people are coming because they are looking for God. They're looking, to be delivered. They're looking for answers. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for exhortation, for edification. But if you're making it all about you and you're speaking your own words and not the words of God, and this goes, even outside and not speaking in tongues. You got people that speaking plainly, but not speaking plainly, not speaking nothing at all. Everything is about them. And we've talked about that in older videos, right? That when Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, listen, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what we preach, and we do it for Jesus' sake, according to his will, for what it is that he has called us to do. This isn't about us. So if you find me preaching about myself and everything's about myself and what I do and this and that, that's a red flag. We talked about this in the past, right? So we got to be real careful that we don't make this stuff about ourselves, because if you've been called in the ministry, if you've been called to minister, preach the gospel, whatever have you, then it should always be about the Lord and the edifying of the body of Christ. And those that are coming in unlearned, you know, uneducated, without understanding, they should be able to leave with something. They should be able to leave knowing that, listen, God spoke to me. There's conviction there. I know this is something that I need to change or get right. I know that this is something that, you know, I've been asking and questioning God about, and now I've got my answer. This is why it is important that we come and we make sure that our goal is to glorify God, to say only what it is that God wants us to say. And I want to read this last scripture to you guys, and it's confirmation of what it is that we see with these type of videos with people writing tongues on a board and touching it and falling out and all these weird things that we're seeing. And if you be honest, now that we have, you know, so much access to different church services all over the world, because people want to make sure that they put their services online, we see the craziness that people are doing. We see the same types of patterns of preaching, the same words that's being used, you know, y'all not talking to me, you know, all of these little sayings. Like, if you really just sit and analyze it, it's like a lot of it is just the same stuff, right? You know, and when we start being honest with ourselves about that and start really looking for, you know, God to just really speak to us in just a plain way. And I'm not saying that you can't have a good time, you can't laugh in the service and stuff like that. But when it's all about the individual that's in that pulpit, that is a problem. And this scripture right here is going to confirm what it is that I'm talking about and what it is that we see happening. And I'm going to close out the podcast here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what Paul says. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, this is powerful because he says, listen, in the latter times, and we know that we are in those times, right? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The reason why that shall depart from the faith is so powerful is because somebody could be departed from the faith and still be right in the service. Just because you see people having these services and in these services and doing all these weird things, a lot of them have already departed from the faith. Because what's the faith? Believing in God's word, believing in what it is that God said, not in what some man said, some new thing he done made up. No, once you start erring from the faith, once you start going outside of the word of God and attaching yourselves to crazy and wild ideas and shenanigans and all that, you have departed from the faith, right? You have left God's word. You have turned your back on God's word. Now you're listening to somebody else's word. Now you're being dressed in a different type of information, right? In a different type of word. But listen what he goes on to say. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They no longer have a conscience, man. Some of these people, you know, they not even looking back. They not even trying to get back. You know, they all the way gone. So if you keep following some of these certain individuals, I'm not saying everybody isn't, you know, going to be able to repent and come back. But some people, they just gone with it. You know, it's just all about the bread. It's all about the fame. It's all about using people. It says that they're seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meats, which God have created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. But this is what we see, right? People that their conscience has been seared with a hot iron, they're preaching doctrines of devils, they're being used by seducing spirits and they're seducing you, you know, through these same spirits, you got to be very careful. You know, sometimes people, you know, they talk like, oh, you know, we should lighten up about certain things and not take things so serious. No, if anything should be taken serious, it's the things of God. When you go to a service, if anything should be taken serious, it's what you're hearing out of that pulpit, what's being said, what's being done in that pulpit. First of all, we're only in church but so many times a week. So I don't want to come to church, you know, two or three times a week or how many other times you may go to church and hear about this individual all the time or hear about what this actor is doing, this actress, Trump, this politician or whatever have you. No, I need to hear about Jesus. What is it that Jesus is saying to us? And break it down to me plainly so I can leave here with some understanding. But I wanted to share this because this is the type of stuff we see going on. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I see so many videos on YouTube where people are doing crazy stuff in the pulpit that has nothing to do with God. I saw this video, and I promise you guys, I'm hopping off the podcast. I saw a video recently where a guy was talking about, you know, many of you know the Super Bowl just passed a couple weeks ago. And I love to watch football, been a football fan, as you can see. My team is the team that lost the Super Bowl. I've been a San Francisco 49er fan since I was 15. I'm 47. So I've been a 49er fan forever. So obviously I watched the Super Bowl, enjoyed it, even though we lost. So I have nothing against sports, nothing against football. Whether even if I watched it or didn't watch it, I don't have anything against that per se. But when you start bringing that in, I've never really been into the whole Super Bowl Sunday thing at church and turning the sermon into a Super Bowl sermon and all that. Like, I just never, it's like when I come to church, man, I just want to hear about the Lord. If you want to wear your jersey and preach, I guess that's on you. That's not a sin, but I want to hear about the Lord. But this guy showed a video where these people were acting out, you know, a football play, and they kicked the Bible, like kicked it, like punted it inside of a football case, like a football Bible cover case. I'm like, this is, who kicks the Bible? How can you be saved and filled with the Spirit and kick a Bible? I don't like to sit stuff on top of my Bible, even though we know that the Spirit is in us and that the Word lives in us. But these are His words. These are His instructions. I count the Scriptures as dear. I count the Bible that I read as dear. And it's like, why would you kick the Bible, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's just like when we hear stories about Jim Jones supposedly throwing the Bible one time and saying, you guys believe in this little black book more than you believe in me. Man, before the Bible would have hit the ground, I would have had my hat and my coat and been out of there, right? These are the words of God, right? These are the words that we read. These are instructions. This is the word they talked about that we can't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Somebody's kicking that. That's supposed to be saved, supposed to be in leadership. It doesn't make sense. But these are the shenanigans and all the types of different things that we're doing in the church to try to keep people in their seats and keep people engaged and keep people coming. Listen, if the word isn't going to keep them coming, then guess what? You just got to let them go. And we see that in John chapter 6. And I know I said I was closing the podcast, but I get passionate about this stuff, right? John chapter 6. Jesus feeds them with the fish and the bread. They eat. Now all of a sudden, because they've got some natural things, and we see this happen, you know, where we first come to God because of the spiritual things He did from us, delivered us from this, delivered us from that, healed us, whatever have you. Then He started doing some natural things in our life. And instead of focusing on what it was originally that He did for us spiritually, now we just focus on the stuff. So now He feeds these individuals, and now they're trying to make them king by force just because they ate and were filled. And if you remember in John chapter 6, when they run into Him, Jesus addressed them right away. He says, listen, y'all not looking for me because of the miracles that I did. You're looking for me because you were ate and you were filled. And He says, listen, He says, don't labor for the meat that perished. He said that perisheth, but labor for that meat that leads to everlasting life. And what does He go into? He goes into, if you're going to partake or be a part of me or be one with me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And by the time we get to the end of John chapter 6, it says many of his disciples walk no more with them. There is a rubber in there's a rubber that meets in the road. What's that saying? When the rubber meets the road, there's that time when it's going to come when you have to give them straight up word. And if they're not willing to receive it, you have to let them go. Jesus didn't chase none of them down. He didn't tell them hold up because he understood that. Listen, if you're not here to be one with me, if you're not here to drink my blood and eat my flesh, meaning, you know, to receive all of the word, then guess what? This isn't the journey for you. I'm not going to chase you down. I'm not going to entertain you. I'm not going to, you know, give you more fish and bread for you to stay. No, if that's what you want to do, then go about your business. And he even asked his 12 disciples, he said, are y'all going to leave too? And what did Peter say? He said, where are we going to go? We believe and are sure that you have the words that lead to eternal life. We believe and are sure that you are the Lord, right? This is what's most important, that we focus on his word and that we hold on to his word. I'm not saying don't have fun, but there's some things that we can do after service, right? Hey, go have a Super Bowl party, watch the game, have a good time. But we ain't got to be doing all that in the pulpit. This is God's time. We only here but for a few hours. Let's glorify him and hear what it is that he has to say and stop moving him off the stage, right? But know that I love you guys. I know I got real passionate about that. But listen, God doesn't ask us for much. But some of the main things that he asks us to do is, listen, just keep my word. Just say what I say to say. Do what I say do. Stop moving me out of the way. I'm not telling you to stop, you know, enjoying your life, enjoying your family, taking a trip, doing whatever. I'm not telling you to stop doing any of that. But I want you, when it's time to talk about my word and talk about me, say what it is that I am saying. Do what it is that I am telling you to do according to my will, right? Don't try to take my place. Don't make the people idolize you and forget about me, because that's going to be bad for you and bad for them. And we talked about that in the past. I talked about that there's accountability when it comes to being deceived. God will hold you accountable at some point. You can't just keep being deceived by somebody, because the reason why is because God will show you signs of something's not right here. So if you keep on following that person and going with that person, then guess what? There's going to be some accountability on your part. But know that I love you guys. And I just wanted to share this with you to be aware, guys, of this stuff that you're seeing and the stuff that these individuals are doing. Because if you're not careful, they're going to drag you right down with them. And prayerfully, you know, some of them repent and come back and do the right thing. But at the end of the day, we don't know who's going to do that and who isn't. So we got to be careful with who we're following. But know that I love you guys. And until the next time we hop on the podcast together, Shalom.